Good morning, Park Avenue. Before I read our scripture for the morning, I want to read the opening of Thessalonians. And I do that with you in mind. And I believe the Holy Spirit is all right if I change it up a bit. To the church situated on 34th and Park Avenue South. In God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. I always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in my prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor, of love and steadfastness, of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for your care and reception of me. It has been a year since I came to you. And so I thank God for you, and I thank God that I get to be with you in this season. And God has been faithful, and so have you. So we are in Matthew 13 today, and we are going to look at just verses 1 through 9. And in the Pew Bibles, if you turn to page 13, that hardly seems right, but they must renumber. Yes, page 13, you'll find it. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen! A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some of the seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." The word of God for the people of God. Please pray with me for a moment. And now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be both accepting and pleasing to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Another parable. Some time ago, Jesus stayed with a friend at the Riverside Plaza Apartments in Minneapolis. The high-rise 39-story building has brightly colored panels, and it's situated not too far from the University of Minnesota West Bank. On a late summer afternoon, Jesus went out of his friend's apartment and he walked to the elevator. Some of the neighbors saw him as he passed. He nodded, friendly, acknowledged them, and proceeded to the elevator. When he got down to the street level, he walked out of Riverside Plaza and he noticed a crowd. A huge crowd in front of the building, spreading across the city block and even out onto the street. Jesus made his way through the crowd to an open field, and there he stood in the back of an abandoned truck, and he told them a parable saying, "Listen, a man went out on a steaming hot day, a day like yesterday, and opened a fire hydrant outside Riverside Plaza. Now, Pete's not here, but tell Pete that it was with the approval of the fire department and the spray cap." That's parenthetical. So Jesus said, listen, a man went out on a steaming hot day and opened a fire hydrant outside Riverside Plaza. Cool water gushed out the hydrant with great force. Some neighbors didn't seek the refreshing waters of the hydrant because they didn't know that they were welcomed. Some neighbors quickly walked through the stream of cooling water, barely getting wet, and then they returned home. Some neighbors wouldn't go anywhere near an open hydrant because they didn't want to look foolish. And some neighbors gathered in anticipation around the hydrant before the cap was even removed. And once the water began spraying out, they frolicked and they played and they played and they frolicked. The neighborhood children seemed especially to enjoy the cool water. And the sound of their giggling and their shrieking could be heard all the way up to the 39th floor of Riverside Plaza. It was a joyful noise, a joyful sound in the ears of all who heard them. Jesus concluded saying, listen, anyone with ears, listen. Now, I know this is the first time that you've heard that parable. I know this is the first time that you've probably heard of Jesus visiting Riverside Plaza. So think about what questions you have and just hold on to them, because there are many things about this parable that we can wonder. What made the neighbors respond so differently to the invitation to cool off in the hydrant water? And what are we, what am I, what are you to understand from such a story? We have been coming in and out of Matthew as we followed the lectionary this year. So our gospel lesson on the third Sunday in January was from the fourth chapter of Matthew, where Jesus launched his public ministry announcing, change your hearts and listen. Change your hearts and live. Here comes the kingdom of God. From the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus told the people that they had to live differently. The world was a different place because of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. So now as we come to chapter 13, we are mindful that Jesus' announcement about the kingdom and repentance is the through line throughout Matthew's gospel. The settings and the audiences for Jesus' teaching and preaching changed, but Jesus was consistent in his message. Change your hearts now and live as if God's inbreaking kingdom is all that matters. Now, it's not easy to define or to understand what the kingdom of God is, but the gospel gives us some clues. It, the kingdom of God breaking in, is revealed and demonstrated in Jesus' words and actions. It is God's generous gift, it is God's initiative, and it's God's action. It is disruptive and disturbing. And it establishes a new way of life that is counter to the prevailing ways that we know. It is counter to prevailing standards and values. And the inbreaking of God's kingdom challenges and upsets the agenda of the enemy. So Jesus shaped his preaching and teaching about God's kingdom with such great care. He spoke to his audiences in ways that would have been familiar to them so that they would hear, so that they could see, so that they would come to understand how living according to the ways of God's kingdom would mean more abundant life. He preached sermons and lessons that honored who they were. And if they watched his ministry and they listened closely, they would have heard in his messages echoes and reflections of the deeply held beliefs and values from their ancestors. He was continuing something that they knew. Although carefully prepared and generously given, some people who heard Jesus ignored his teaching and his preaching, supposing that they had heard others speak about the kingdom of God breaking in, and nothing happened. Others accepted his call for repentance up to a point. they changed, or they kind of turned, but then they turned back. And still others actively opposed Jesus. They were the ones who were benefiting from old and lopsided commitments and from unjust practices and policies and from old ways of doing things that advanced and strengthened crooked operating values. Now, in response to being ignored and partially accepted and outright opposed, Jesus does not stop teaching and preaching. He was relentless in pursuing his mission, his reason for coming to live on earth. It was to show and to tell God's people that the inbreaking of God's kingdom matters above everything and everyone else. Over and over again, Jesus explained that a change of heart was the only acceptable response to the kingdom of God breaking in. So on this day that Matthew describes, Jesus went out from the seaside house where he had been living, and he sat down. Before too long, a crowd gathered on the beach, and he offered them a new, a different type of story. It was not a four-point sermon. I don't have 4 points, don't worry. It was this storytelling. It was this way of telling a story in which the kingdom of God gets compared to circumstances that the crowd was probably pretty familiar with. He took something from their everyday lives, described it well, and then subtly and seamlessly wove in an unexpected element to engage their imaginations and to illuminate the parts of their hearts that were yet lacking in understanding. In every parable Jesus told, there was a potential for those who listened. There was an opportunity for them. There was a seed for them to come to deeper understanding. Understanding about the significance of the inbreaking of God's kingdom. But again, it's hard to understand what is God's kingdom. It's not easy to describe that. And when something is transcendent and unmatched and is holy and divine, it is difficult to grasp, both for them and for us. And so again, that's why Jesus spoke to them in parables. Because a parable has the potential to either go around or to go under and even to go through whatever is blocking understanding of heart and whatever is blocking every listener's ability to know that God was coming for them and loved them. So there were those in the crowd who may have been of low social standing, the humble, and there were some in the crowds who were self-important, the haughty. And those who were considered of low social standing, those who were not the most observant, those who were regarded as undeserving, they heard Jesus say on that day, they heard him describe a way of sowing that was not cautious and that was not guarded and that was not mean tested, but it was indiscriminate and it was free hearted. Those in the crowd who were haughty, who were self-important, and who took great security in their material wealth, they heard Jesus describe one whose sowing was not based on social standing, was not based on merit, was not based on possessions, but was indiscriminate and free-hearted. Whether humble or haughty, one who indiscriminately and free-heartedly sows has seed enough for all and seeds for everyone. So think of the parable you heard earlier. You heard it for the first time. There's not a single or fixed meaning of the parable. There won't be a test. I told you that parable hoping that we could stand in the shoes of the crowd on the beach, stand as they stood and hear something for the first time. There were multiple understandings the crowd could take away from the parable that Jesus told them. Through the parable, Jesus is again working to try to change their hearts. So after hearing this teaching, each person in the crowd would either believe that they had come to some understanding or they would believe that they didn't understand anything at all. The person who believed that they hadn't understood anything at all then had another set of choices before them. Did they not understand because Jesus was unclear, or did they not understand because there was something yet that was getting in the way of their understanding? Then and now, understanding has less to do with having the right answers than it has to do with being willing to continue to listen. Continuing to listen until understanding comes. So anyone on that beach who kept listening to Jesus, even though they didn't fully comprehend, even though they only got a little bit of what he was saying, anyone who continued to listen were the ones who truly and really understood. In telling the parable, Jesus, like the sower that he describes, shared indiscriminately and freely. He knew that in that crowd there were lots of different levels of engagement. There were hearts that were open, hearts that were closed, hearts that had been broken. And indiscriminate sharing is still what he did. Whether we have demonstrated understanding or not, I'm so thankful that God will continue to sow seeds. Now, problems with seeing and hearing and understanding Jesus' teaching are not limited to the first crowds that heard him. We are at risk, too. We're at risk of hearing but not understanding the significance of Jesus' teaching and preaching. We're at risk of responding initially with joy and enthusiasm to Jesus' teaching and preaching while underestimating what it takes to sustain and live as if we really understand discipleship. We are at risk of allowing worldly cares and the pursuit of material things to distract us and altogether block out Jesus' teaching. One way that we can gauge the extent to which we understand and have truly understood what Jesus gives to us and what we have in our Bibles is by examining our own sowing. God expects us and makes it possible that we will be sowing seeds indiscriminately and free-heartedly. Elsewhere in Matthew's gospel, we read Jesus' instructions, "You have been treated generously, so live generously." That's about our sowing. We are here this morning because God indiscriminately and free-heartedly sowed into our lives. But we don't do the same. There are some reasons for that, I believe. Some of it is because maybe we don't know that that's part of our identities. Maybe we don't know that we are made to be sowers. Each and every one of us know this day, you are a sower. Maybe we don't sow because the culture that we are a part of has so imprinted on us that we have these notions about where are the places that are deserving and undeserving of sowing. I will never forget sitting in a social policy class and hearing about the criteria for the different social safety net programs that are part of U.S. Social policy. And in all of that criteria, and in all of the reading, what I kept getting a sense of is that somebody really far away from the people who had great needs were making decisions about who was truly deserving and who was undeserving. And it's not just social policymakers that do that. It's all of us. It's educators. It's law enforcement. It's preachers. It's all of us. All of us have that affecting our sowing. And some of our sowing doesn't happen because we're too cautious. At the Minnesota Annual Conference last month, the theme of the conference was Encounter the Spirit, Live Expectantly. We were treated to four TED-style talks, including one from the Reverend Cullen Tanner, who is the pastor at Northern Lights Church in Ramsey, Minnesota. It's a church start. And Reverend Tanner challenged us to risk failure for the sake of the gospel. You all don't know me well enough, I know you know me very well, to have recognized that little crooked smile that was on my face as Christine sang, because I knew that I was going to be talking about failure. So what I want to distinguish is there is no failure in God, but thanks be to God that He is a God who gets all involved with our failures, who never goes away from us because we fail. And so that's why we have to risk sowing these seeds indiscriminately and free-heartedly. Reverend Tanner said that the church should celebrate attempts that are noble, that end in failure. And why can we do that? Because ultimately, there is no failure in God. And he offered that faith, real faith, is trusting God enough to act like a follower of Jesus in your everyday life, even if it means you might fail. Amen. This young man said that he is deeply convicted of this truth. It is better to fail at something worthy than to succeed at something inconsequential. I think Reverend Tanner is talking about indiscriminate and free-hearted sowing. That's what God invites us to, Park Avenue, is to toss out lots and lots and lots of seeds. Some of our seeds will grow, and the result will be that we have helped to build out the kingdom. Some of our seeds will not grow, and that's all right. Whether the return on the seeds are meager or abundant, we believe and trust in God, who is the one who will bring to completion that which God started. Anytime we experience growth, it is a sheer gift, and it is always a demonstration of God's power breaking in from beyond the realm of anything that we control. This gospel lesson further invites us to be a church that looks and listens intently for God's kingdom breaking in unlikely places. We don't want to miss seeing it or hearing it. It could be that there is a parable being acted out in our living room, in the grocery store, while we're riding the light rail, while we're watching the news. This summer, many of our missionary families are back at Park, and we are so thankful that they are here and that we get to hear about their sowing. I hope you get to hear, and I promise you will be inspired when you hear about their sowing. Last week, Joe Schley described the seeds he and his family are sowing in France on soccer fields, through the visual arts, and in music performances. Thursday evening, the mission team was blessed to share fellowship with Kirk and Dawn Anderson and hear about the seeds they're sowing in Bulgaria and beyond through coaching, mentoring, and preparing Bible study leaders. Also in Bulgaria, Dawn is sowing seeds of healing through adult coloring books for survivors of sexual violence. There are no crazy seeds. Sow the seeds, people. Sow the seeds. And through our 24-hour prayer vigil, we sowed seeds in our neighborhood. Seeds of peace, seeds for spiritual and physical healing, and seeds for fellowship with surrounding congregations. God will bring us to a deeper understanding. It won't be by our efforts. It will be by us saying yes and responding to God's prompting. We will simply not fully understand the inbreaking of God's kingdom until by and by. I don't know when by and by are, but I trust the old saints that told us that by and by we would understand it better. Mm-hmm. So the inbreaking of the kingdom is not yet fulfilled, but we have experienced it enough so that we want more and more of it. We have experienced it enough that we want to make sure that others get to share it too. Thanks be to God. Amen.